Blog Talk Radio.
Studios inside the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. That's official now. Amen. We are in here, man. It's your boy, your host, Minister L. King, alongside my brother in ministry, the one, the only, the good pastor from the Faith
Works
Vision International.
Absolutely.
There we go. Harold D. Washington.
Harold D. Washington. I'm excited.
No relation.
None at all.
But that's all right.
That's all right.
Just like they can call you Harold D. Washington, they can call me Dr. Cat.
Yes, sir. That's right. Dr. King.
That's it.
You got that now. For sure.
Hey.
They take it from you.
No, they can't. That's going on the
That's on the book.
I ain't gonna have no tombstone, but that's gonna go on the urn somewhere.
Yes. You like me. You like me with that.
Spend all that money.
I'm not in this
corpse
no more.
When
God brings us back, he can pull all the dust
from
heaven and set and bring us back.
Hey, look here, just like reversal on Endgame, huh?
Snap
and put it all back.
Put it all back together, all back to the beginning. Yes, sir.
Look here, y'all. We got a good show for you tonight, man. It's going to be a good time. Tonight's topic is going to be hot. It's simply entitled Slow and Steady Wins the Church Growth Race. Slow and steady wins the church growth race. We're going to talk about that, some other stuff. I'm just excited, man. It's been a good weekend. I want to talk to my brother here and see what's going on with him. Big shout out to Pastor Parks. Is he back from his vacation? I thought he was gone or he flew back.
Right. He said he won't be here today.
Right.
But I think he came in like Tuesday.
Okay. Right? I thought he said he was on his way back or something. So anyway, I know he was gone. I know I saw him fly out. So
right.
But man, we're going to have a good time tonight in here. Look, let me give you a rundown on how you could be a part of today's show. If you are already listening on the line, simply push one and you can be a part of today's broadcast. That's right. If you're already listening on the line, simply push one and you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375. Again, that calling number is area code 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number. Looking forward to hearing from you guys that way. If you want to email the show, TakingTheLimitsOff@comcast.net. You can email the show at TakingTheLimitsOff@comcast.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Definitely looking forward to hearing you all that way. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's going to be a good time as well. I know I got to get this thing started on this other system, but I
know that's what you see. I just shared it over.
Right. Too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it that way. Again, that's at TTLO Radio on Twitter. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can do that as well. Follow us on the gram. Real simple, real easy to do. TTLO Radio, at TTLO Radio is where you can find us on Instagram. Again, that's at TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Amen. And then we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. And then also you can subscribe to our podcast anywhere, man. You can go to Spotify, you can go to iTunes, Blogger, Stitcher, all of them. We out there. You can find us there, man. It's going to be a good time. We appreciate y'all, every one of y'all who listen and do all those wonderful things, man, that keep us going, man. Y'all inspire us to do a better job, and we appreciate y'all for that. Let's see. Is there anything else? Did I miss anything? I don't think I did. My brother.
Yeah.
Hal. Right, that's real.
That's how they call him.
Yeah,
nobody says Hal.
That's what the grandma was saying.
Hal.
just all your numbers and stuff is just missing, right? Just
yes, sir.
What's going on, man?
Man, excited, man. I started the series yesterday. You are not alone.
Okay. Okay.
It has truly just blessed, literally blessed my soul and the soul of all of those that's been showing up.
Oh wow. Okay.
So everybody's like, now you started this series.
Okay.
And I had people say, well, you know, I can't go to my church because I gotta finish this now because you did that thing.
Okay.
You know
what?
I got an understanding. So I'm teaching out of the book of Ruth.
Okay, okay.
You are not alone.
All right, got it.
We understand that Naomi went in with her husband, and as soon as she gets there, he dies off, and 10 years later, the boys die off, and all she have left are her two daughter-in-law.
Okay,
and
okay.
I was teaching how, although Naomi lost everything that was close to her, she's also gained two daughter-in-laws that she would have known until she got over into Moab.
Wow.
So, you know, but it was all for a purpose that was bigger than any one of them could have known.
Wow. Okay.
And I don't want to get it out.
I see where you're going. That's good, man.
Yeah, man. I'm teaching it, man. I'm teaching it. And God gave me a little hoop at the end. Look,
well,
at
look, that's what I want. I was going to bring that up. You know, now, watched him come in, man. I asked him what was going on. He said he felt a little hoopy.
Yeah, a little hoopy.
A little hoopy, You that's what you feel?
Yeah, just a little bit. It got so good that I had stopped and then started back. Teaching is good. I love teaching.
Uh-huh,
but I can say that honestly, since all the tragedy that's constantly happened, God has truly given me something extra to hold on to let me know that he reassures that he's with me.
That's good.
So
that's good.
I thank God.
Man, let's see. All right, cool. Somebody just sent me something to threw me off. All right. I'm like, what is that popped up on the screen? So if you doing, if let me ask you this. Y'all got an organ? Y'all got an organ?
I got the right man to make what I
can. He got the keyboard.
He got the Yamaha he can lay all four times.
You ready?
He got it fixed. Rick got me thick over there.
So you ready?
And they pushed me. Him and the drummer pushed me yesterday.
Okay.
That's why it got so good to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
When you get them seasoned saints, say, son, you know what? You preach that thing. I ain't never heard it like that before.
That's good, son.
You know you're doing something right.
I love it.
It's hard to get them old saints to stand up for.
Man, look here.
Yes, sir.
Once they settle in their ways, Doc, I heard somebody mentioned that to me. On Saturday, man, about old saints sitting down on
preachers. The young preachers,
yeah,
especially.
Yeah, that's not the first time I've heard those words.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it must be some truth to it.
You got to, when I say this as humble as I can.
Uh-huh.
You got to know how to preach to make them elders stand up. You got to know how to say something. They ain't standing up for nothing.
Yeah, they're not gonna let you, they want some hooping.
Yeah, and I had to learn that.
And the bad part about it is, some of them got to a point, they want some hooping even if you ain't preaching. They just want you to holler.
Just want
to hear. They just want you to holler, even if you can't preach.
Yes, sir.
They just want you to holler. So,
man.
Yeah, I always wondered about that.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, man. So how is the church? Everybody's good still?
Yeah, man. You know, we still soaking in the loss of my wife.
I'll
never stop talking about that no time soon at all.
No.
We still soaking it in.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, and when I say this sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
When I preach on Sunday, it still feels surreal that I don't see her in the front row.
Sitting in her seat.
Yeah.
Wow. And I can't, you know, I'm sure there's some out there who have been where you are,
right?
So they can relate. But for those of us who have not been there, it's difficult for us, I'm sure, to be able to relate to that. And all we can say is, man, we continuing to pray for you. But I'm glad the church is doing what it's doing and holding it together.
It sounded like the heat.
Is that the radiator?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it sounded like somebody trying to break in for a minute.
I turned it, and it shouldn't be that warm in here, because I turned the radiator off.
Oh, wow.
And it's still warm.
It's still warm.
I might crack this door back open.
Yeah, like the summer.
They say the sound went out. What do you mean the sound went out?
Because for mine went out for a minute. I couldn't hear nothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are we good now?
I hope, yeah. If we good, just...
Y'all, somebody send some hearts or some thumbs up, something.
If you can hear.
If y'all can hear us, like...
Right there, you should say, if you can hunt, you can hear.
Y'all good? Are we all right?
I'm hoping.
Ain't nobody saying nothing? Don't nobody know nothing?
Look, sign signal, SOS.
I think we good, though. Let me see. Sound, is we good? Oh, we're good.
There we go.
Andrew said
there
we
go.
Okay, there we go. All right. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Appreciate it. I'm like, I don't know what happened. Look, I ain't pushing no buttons.
Not at all.
Man. So yeah, man, that's good stuff though, man. I'm glad y'all just, man, you know what? Just praise him through it.
And that's what I've been doing.
Just praise him through it, man. That's all you can do.
Exactly,
that's all you
doing.
Can do. Man, so you said that was funny when you said that. So your day was good, the weekend was good, everything's good?
Weekend was good, you know, just what I'm learning now.
Uh-huh.
In prepping for a message.
Okay, help us out.
That I didn't do before,
mm-hmm.
is I didn't preach to me before I preached to the people.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I do.
See, I'm used to studying it and getting all the information.
And unfortunately, I've gotten away from that being over here.
Okay.
Because I don't want to overdo nothing, overstay nothing,
right.
even though I got keys and all that good
Absolutely.
Stuff to get in. When I was at my, let me say it like this. I was going to say at my home church.
Church, right.
When I was at my former church.
Okay.
Because I got a little stuff that folks might not know. But when I was at my former church, the night before I had to preach.
Okay.
I would be down in the sanctuary on Saturdays. Sometime 9, 10, 11 o'clock, preaching to the pews.
Amen.
And go back and I'd have my timer on,
so
and I would see how it flowed, and then if something didn't go right, I'd put it out, and then I would add something else, or I would, you know, take something out of, man, I would do that for about 2 or 3 hours.
Wow.
And then that way, Sunday, I really knew my material. So that laptop, because I use my laptop or the iPad,
okay.
That laptop was just there for reference.
Okay.
And I could let that thing flow, because I got a teleprompter program.
Oh, see, I don't have it yet.
So it's free. You just go ahead and download the app. But once I hit the space bar, it just starts to scroll.
Oh, okay.
And then I can talk over here and take a quick glance and then go on over here and stop it when I want to elaborate on a point and let it go, then
Dang.
Come back and say, man, look here. I'm like Obama giving a speech. What? Come on now.
I'm still learning. That's what I'm saying. I'm learning.
But I did not. That's the only way I knew how. I didn't know another way. Studying it didn't work. And what I found out was I studied the scriptures. That part was not a problem. But the delivery part.
That's what I'm saying.
I've always been so afraid of getting the delivery messed up, which is why I would go down and practice. And I said, the next time I'm asked to preach here, when I know I got my message,
right.
I'm going to make my way down here and preach in that empty room. This is what I used to do, too, because everybody sits in the same seat pretty much. And I know the people that's going to give me some looks,
uh-huh.
the good and the bad.
Uh-huh.
So I would focus right on them seats.
So
that way, Sunday morning, I would focus right back in that spot. Ain't gonna bother me one way or other, whether they clapping or they frowning.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, look here. That thing. Look here. That thing used to bless me.
Look, two things. So what made me do it is the first time the hoop came,
uh-oh.
I had never done it. So I was so high,
you couldn't get back to
I couldn't come down. And you know, I'm gonna tell the truth on me.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I was so high that I couldn't come down. So I said, you know what, I got to get it where at least if I'm up,
uh-huh.
I can go up one more step if I got to.
Yeah.
But I can't start at my
No, pool. No, and you got that. That's the purpose of now do you is your stuff in outline form or the manuscript?
So I have my tablet.
Okay.
And what I do is my scriptures in the Bible
right.
are highlighted,
right?
So I know which ones
right.
are which,
right?
And then as I explain those,
mm-hmm.
the next one I highlighted in a different color,
okay?
So I know those
right. okay.
in this part,
okay?
So when I get to my point and I
uh-huh.
feel now the
uh-huh.
the
uh-huh.
time to go
uh-huh.
high,
uh-huh.
I know now
right.
to so, take my time.
So when I say outline versus, and I know y'all like these preachers is crazy. When I say outline versus, okay, so you know manuscript is you pretty much
type it up, right?
Say.
I do it on the tab.
Right. Outline is just literally, you know, here's a bullet point, and this is my point I want to make, and I talk about this point for a few minutes, then I'm gonna go to my next bullet point, in my next bullet point. Which one do you do?
So that's what I'm saying. I use both methods.
Oh, so you're doing them both.
Right.
Okay, got it.
I do it on the tablet, but I also have the Bible that's got the what's name, but it's telling me on the tablet which part to go to the Bible.
I tried outline preaching.
Uh-huh. It's hard.
It don't flow for me.
Okay.
So manuscript. Literally, I sit there
and
type out everything I think I'm gonna say.
Okay. So you know you don't miss nothing.
Everything. And then that's why, like, at the beginning, the sermon ends up being, you know, 15, 16 pages. And then I have to go back and condense all that.
Okay. So
and
you
make
got,
it into. Okay. Yeah. And I always said if I ever got if I ever had the opportunity to preach at least 2 or 3 weeks in a row, I would be able to preach a series because then I can use all of that. But because I'm limited to whatever Sunday I may get,
right.
I have to try to condense that down
all the way down.
25, 30 minutes. Because the last time I condensed it down 25, 30 minutes worth of material, not this past time I preached, but the one before that,
uh-huh.
I ended up preaching for an hour and some change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the folk, and I didn't lose nobody.
And that's the thing about that.
I didn't realize, right? Even though my mom was sitting in the back, like, okay, you can wrap it on up now. But I was looking at it, I was like, no, they're getting this.
They're getting this.
I was,
that's how I was feeling yesterday. But I only preached yesterday maybe 31 minutes.
Patricia Butts, somebody I still need to work on my poker face. Really? Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Butts, thank you so much. Church clerk here at the Ebenezer. Yeah, so man, but nah, man, so it was a good weekend, man. Let me go ahead. So, man, y'all know I had some stuff happen over the weekend, good stuff. Celebrating my birthday was yesterday.
Hey, and I shouted you out.
You did. Big 49.
Yeah.
Hit the big 49. Good Lord. Chapter 49, as they say. So I started chapter 49 yesterday, man, and I was grateful for that. On Thursday, was it Thursday or Friday?
Thursday or Friday,
I got the text, the email
yeah.
About the doctorate saying it had been conferred. So it was dated the 2nd, so I got it the 3rd. So that happened. So got that, man, that's done, minus some paperwork here or there, but that's done. That's a done deal. I'm just grateful, man. It was, you know what it is? I haven't really had a chance to celebrate it. Because I'm more relieved than anything else.
Because you know you don't have to do what you've been doing.
Yeah, it's more like the weight is gone.
Right.
So, like, today was the first day. So, so Sunday, you know, I get here, and I'm walking all through here. Everybody, I got Doc 50 million times. Hey, Doc.
Yeah, Doc. Yeah.
And I ain't never like that. Even when I hear other people do it, Doc. And if I, hey, Doc, you know, it's like, don't Doc me. But now it's like, They were sticking it to me all day.
Yes, sir.
And it was good, man. And they celebrated me here at Ebenezer, man. It was an awesome thing, man. And so that happened. And then I had been contemplating it for a while on what I was going to do. You know, even after I had put my hat in the ring for pastor over here and then decided to go a different route, I was like, okay, Lord, what you want me to do? And I prayed about it, and God, you know, I literally heard the voice of God say, your assignment is not over.
Amen.
And so I decided I was going to stay. That's why I didn't leave.
Okay.
Because everybody would say, well, if you didn't get the job, why are you still there? Why you still there?
You know how
folks. Because I could have been somewhere else. This is contracted out, so I don't have to be in church on Sunday, right?
To do this.
Right. So I can come and do this and go about my business.
Right.
But God said, no, you got work to do. You still have work to do, regardless of title.
Absolutely.
And so, man, I prayed about it. And then the last Sunday that I preached the first Sunday in April.
Right.
The first Sunday in April I preached. And I almost joined that Sunday. But it felt weird because I was going to open the door to church and then I was going to take myself in. I did.
Yeah, I would have felt real.
It would have been looking real strange if I would have, you know, I was like, no, let me just hold. So then I was going to do it. And then the next week, I think the next week was Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
And I almost did it Palm Sunday, but we had like 7 people join. I was like, let me let them 7 do their thing, you know, or 6 people. Then the following Sunday, we had like 3 or 4 people for Easter, so people joined. So I was like, okay. And then the next Sunday, so then we had last Sunday, so then this Sunday came, and I was sitting there, man, and I think the sermon was entitled Press On, and you know, it was talking about being in and having some accountability and being a part of stuff like that, And I said, this is the time. So, man, they opened the door to church, and I stood there for a while, and I made contact with the church clerk. I was like, you ready? And I had teased her last week because somebody had joined the week before, and she was, you know, she had the little thing to write the names down.
Right.
And I was like, what mine then? I just kind of motioned for it, and she was like, oh. I was like, nah, that's all right. So this past week, I said, you know what? Let me go on ahead and get down there, man. So I ran down the stairs, man, and hopped in the chair.
It felt good.
And I did not expect what happened. Literally, the entire church stood up.
Wow.
I that was unexpected.
That's probably because they thought she was going to leave.
But you know what? I had been telling them. Instantly after everything went down, they were coming saying, you're not going nowhere. And I was like, no. I said, I'm going to be here until God say different.
Okay.
That was my answer that for everybody that asked.
They just didn't think they didn't know.
They didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And then, man, I went on and did that thing, man. And the minute I did it, I felt the release.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, okay, you know. And so, man, it was good. So, yeah, now I am officially. For those that don't know, I'm going to say it on here. Yeah, I am officially a member of the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Watch this. Dr. King is now a member of Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Dr. King, that's right. That's a real thing.
That's the only time I'm going to say it, and I'm done with it. But, yeah, it was It was good stuff, man. So yeah, it was a good weekend, man. And I chilled out and for my birthday. I didn't, had some dinner and all that. But man, it was a good time, man. I didn't do much. I didn't do a whole lot of celebrating, you know, because I was kind of like my brain is still like on 100.
It ain't soaked everything in yet.
Right. Then when I get to the school today, everybody, you know, we have these morning assemblies.
Okay.
They did it at the school. So Friday, I had a mini birthday party / congratulations party, right? And then today at the school, they call it the crew, morning circle or whatever, circle up. The principal and everybody else mentioned it, and it was like, wow. So it was cool, though.
It's a big accomplishment.
I don't like the fake humility thing, so I'm not doing that. It's one of those things where it has not sunk in yet. So once it does, then I celebrate it the right way, man.
Absolutely.
I didn't turn up yet for those that asked me. Turn up. Yeah. Then they had something for me here yesterday after church. Had some cake and wait a minute. I don't even know who made the rum cake.
Somebody made
rum cake. I got a whole rum cake at home. I did not cut it yet. I'm gonna do that when I get back home today. I did not, cause I had too much. I had apple. I got apple pie to eat. I got stuff. But I got a whole rum cake with a container of rum butter that I need to pour over the top.
Cream, yep, the cream.
And heat it up and pour. Yeah,
sugar
I got
cream,
to do all
yeah.
that. And got rum in. I opened up, smell it. Who got it? So I still got to do all that. So I'm gonna try to cut that tonight.
Figure out who gave that. They wanted you to turn up.
I don't know who made the rum cake. They didn't tell me. I don't know if it was the Pat or Yvette. Who made the rum cake? Somebody tell me who made the rum cake. I don't know. But man, it's a whole for real cake. Like,
so they took their time.
Somebody made the thing. I said, oh, and you can smell the rum. My God,
the whole box. They gonna say, preacher gonna come up and
right.
After one of these.
Look, I had communion twice yesterday.
Huh?
as often as you do this.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute.
What?
Oh, Nina made the cake. Okay, Anita Cross. Okay, she right here. Wait a minute. She gave me instructions. Look what she put. She says, do not handle heavy equipment when consuming cake. She pulled me to the side. She said, let me run down all these instructions.
Wow. Me.
She said, do not drive. Do not handle heavy equipment. Do not handle sharp objects.
Absolutely.
So look, I ain't handling no sharp nothing tonight. I'm gonna lay back and I'm gonna eat me a piece and let y'all know the outcome. Now y'all know my mind ain't all that right now. I might go live and eat it. So it best be good, cause you know I'm gonna be live.
Go tell it.
And I'm gonna tell it like y'all know I talk about food now. So then rum cake.
Tell it like a
TIE. Look here, so. It's gonna be a good time though, man. So yeah, man, I'm excited about that. Hey, man, you see, real quick, again, let me say this real quick. Thank you so much, Ebenezer, for welcoming me officially into the family, over here into the fold. I appreciate y'all. So yeah, I'm grateful for y'all, man. Thank y'all so much. It's just awesome, awesome to be here. So I'm ready to dive. Look, it ain't like I ain't been working since I've been here, but I'm ready to dive in a whole nother level just to see what's so I can help out wherever I can, man. So it's gonna be a good time. Did you see Tiger Woods at the White House?
I've seen a quick clip of it.
Yeah, him getting what's his face? What's that dude's name? Y'all's president, Trump. Trump gave him the Medal of Freedom or something for winning his fifth Masters. I ain't knocking. It ain't got nothing to do with Trump. What does the Medal of Freedom have to do?
That was my whole question. That's what I could ask.
Like, somebody need to look that up for me. What does the Medal of Freedom have to do with sports?
Is that a get out of jail free card from all the baby mamas?
No.
And the side flings the ass.
Yeah, you know what? There wasn't no baby mamas in that though. I was. He wasn't that stupid.
Oh, you see what I'm saying?
And he had a whole list.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So when I guess Trump must have felt some type of way since Trump can walk around and grab women and other kind of things like that.
Right, right.
Like, well, you a player, I'm a player, right. I'm a lookout player.
Okay, who on your posting at Ebenezer say, you know, we have work for you to do? I'm scared to ask who that is. Because I see Sister Butt and I see other people on there, but Ebenezer making posts. Y'all making me nervous now.
No,
but
anyway, my thought was free in 1876, laugh out loud.
What? Really? That's Felicia.
I thought we was free.
Pray for Felicia. Oh, actually, he was the fourth golfer to receive the medal. Oh, okay. Okay. Didn't know that. All right. I had no idea.
Wow.
I had no idea. That's good stuff, man. So, yeah, but I saw him at the White House walking around with the president and, you know, doing what they do and all that stuff and, you know, whatever. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, man. So have you seen the movie Endgame? You have. You don't watch. No, I asked you in parts this before. Y'all don't watch this.
No. He don't.
But you had to watch something to try to catch up, right?
No, I seen the first one. I wanted to go see the other one. I said they was already sold out.
Oh, so you still ain't went yet. You ain't had a chance.
And yesterday, got out of church. Stopped at my cousin's house for the barbecue. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna go try to check the movie out. That was sold out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna see the Intruder.
Mm.
It was sold.
And
there was a line out the door.
Where was you trying to go to the movies at, man? If it was sold out like that,
man, I'm like,
you online trying to buy a ticket?
Well, I wasn't gonna catch the late show. I didn't want to catch the 10 o'clock.
Got you. Okay.
So that was my whole thing. I was trying to catch the.
You got to be ready for it though. It's 3 hours, so yeah, you got to be ready. You know, and all.
Maybe
that.
I do it Saturday.
Go early. You know.
Well, but I go as early as my TV get down. I'm gonna bother. A huge.
Oh, you waiting for something to get delivered?
Yeah.
Okay, got you.
Once things get there, I'm going to shoot over.
I hear you. So I'll wait till next week.
I like to go to the show when it's empty. When it's like 3
or 4. I don't mind either way. Like, I like going, and then if I go and ain't nobody 3 or 4 people,
that's
then,
what I like.
It don't bother me at all.
That's what I like, because now I can laugh and I ain't got to worry about interrupting everybody.
Man, I laugh out loud. Something good happened, I holler out.
Yeah.
It's one thing happened to that man, something good happened. I was like, yeah!
Look, I'm going to be looking for that scene when I get there.
Hey, you don't know what? You're going to be like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was like, yeah. I was like, it's about time.
I'll be looking for that. Yeah, that was me.
I'm that dude in the movie theater.
Yes, sir.
Like, yeah, that's me. That's all me. Oh, God. Look, man, it's just been a blessed week, man, and a good way to start off the week too, man. Did you do anything for Cinco de Mayo? You know, that was also on yesterday. You know, my
cousin, he opened up his barbershop in the garage.
Oh, okay.
He got a huge screen TV in there.
Nice.
And they had jerk chicken.
Jerk on Cinco de Mayo.
No,
okay.
Hold on, but watch this.
I'm listening.
So they had a pan of jerk chicken.
Uh-huh.
They had a pan of ground turkey and a pan of ground beef.
Uh-huh.
And he had a electric griller out there to grill your taco shells.
Also, they was doing it like that. They was making grill.
It was
jerk chicken tacos.
They had a lot of everything.
Oh my.
So you know I got my issue. I got 3 corn shells, big corn shell tacos. With all the trimmings, with guac.
Woo, yeah, now, you know,
gotta have that guacamole.
Let me tell you something, man. Ain't nothing like some good guacamole.
Man.
Ain't nothing like some good guacamole.
It's something about good guacamole.
My understanding is one of the people used to be on this show, Sister Sharissa Gregory. I was told that I've never had it, but I was told she made some guacamole so good that when they were somewhere and somebody dropped it on the floor and they picked it up and kept right on eating.
They got to be some good guac. That's a whole bunch of avocados. Got to be.
For the, what is Cinco de Mayo actually? Is it no, it's not Mexican Independence Day.
It's not at all.
It's something else.
They defeated Spain.
Thank you. When they defeated Spain. Yep. There you go. Yeah, that's what it is. But ain't nothing like some good guacamole. Huh?
With the right chips?
Man, you gotta have a good firm chip.
You
now.
Can't have them cheap ones.
No, you gotta have an authentic
the one they
chip.
Call the restaurant chip. That's the one you're talking about.
Right.
It's called the restaurant.
The restaurant chip. It's got a little weight on
yeah.
it. Right.
It's
not,
real
not,
dirty.
Not Tostito.
No.
We ain't talking about no Tostito.
Not the cheap stuff. No. We talking about the ones when they actually cut the corn shells up and drop them in the grease.
Hold on. Serena Griffin said, what makes good guacamole? First of all, it's got to be seasoned. You got to have the right amount of salt.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing worse than bland guacamole.
And you got to have a lime.
Got to have
the cilantro, onions,
garlic powder, garlic.
Black pepper, everything.
Black pepper, salt.
Yeah.
I think it's sea salt.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, see, because you use sea salt, you have to use as much other, because you use regular salt, you got to use a lot.
Yeah.
But sea salt has enough flavor, and you don't need a lot.
Yep.
Good sea salt and the right amount of jalapenos.
Yep, and the one I've been tasting lately has bell pepper and tomato in it.
Got tomato. I know there's some people that can't eat that. Don't do tomatoes. But we don't pray for y'all that can't do it.
Because the one with tomatoes is the bomb.
You got to have tomatoes in there. I mean, you got to have all that in
there.
Sir. Yeah. And the thing about it, I went about maybe 2-3 years ago. I was out at that Aurora Outlet Mall.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Out there, you know, big.
Yeah.
And they got it's a store out there that has every kitchen gadget. Like in it, and so I bought me an avocado peeler.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But they had the avocado. They had the mortar, the big thing that you know that the Latinos use to make the guacamole in. That big stone thing
with the thing that you chop.
I bought one right. Ain't never used it.
And I eat
guacamole because I want somebody to walk. Like I want somebody needs to walk me through the process.
It's not that hard, cause
the lady who made the rum cake say her son makes some good guacamole.
Oh, okay.
Anita Cross.
I see it right there. Yeah.
She said her son makes some good guac.
I learned how to make it.
I don't believe it
in the federal penitentiary. Because
Lord. First of all, let's pause. They spending that kind of money giving y'all avocados in the
I want to explain this.
Please explain. Your flow is yours. I'm going to turn my mic off.
In the penitentiary, it is what they do is they have to have meals to accommodate every nationality. When I was north, where the Native Americans were, it was mandatory that they had buffalo, and it was mandatory that they serve menudo.
Menudo.
That's the lining of the stomach.
Oh, chitlins?
No, chitlins is the lining of the other area. But menudo is the lining of the stomach, like taking the stomach bag out and boiling.
Okay.
But the Native Americans, that's part of their culture.
So they have to be available to them.
No matter if anybody else eat it or not, if they the only ones eat it, you still got to serve it.
Wow.
And they have somebody who's native to come in the kitchen to cook it.
What?
Yeah.
Down at the lockup?
In federal penitentiary, they accommodate in the kitchen.
What's the name?
Because when I was in Louisiana, when I got in trouble up north, and they shipped me all the way from up north all the way to Louisiana.
Good Lord.
They serve crawfish.
What?
That's how I started eating crawfish.
Felicia said that they serve soul food to black folks.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, fried chicken was on the menu at least once a week. They called it. They didn't make sweet potatoes, but they took the sweet potatoes and cut them in half and then put the whipped butter and out. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And they serve canned turn them green.
I'm done.
They gotta accommodate everybody. That's how they keep the riots down.
You know what the bad part is? You know, y'all wanna hear something real bad, and it's gonna be real fat. Like it's gonna be real fat. Because my inner fat kid is coming up right now. I'd be like, man, I just wanna go once just to see what it tastes like. Can I do the what's that show? Lockdown for 24 hours.
Oh yeah.
I can't make it.
That's the county. The county you wouldn't like. The county has those little trays that's portioned off.
Yeah,
it's a lot different than you getting a double scoop.
I'm good.
Oh yeah.
I'm good. Never mind. I take your word.
That's like the whole.
I take your word.
Everybody in the hole lose weight because ain't enough food coming.
Anytime I think of prison, my mind goes to Oz on HBO, so I just can't.
Look, I just had a discussion with one of the guys yesterday when we was talking. Because in China, when you graduate out of high school, it's mandatory that you go to the military for 1 year to have the military experience.
In China, yes, that's true. Yes.
I said, personally, I believe that everybody should do, once they get out of the, once they graduate out of high school, I think everybody should go to the penitentiary for 90 days.
What?
Let me explain.
Oh, please explain.
I'm going to help you out.
I'm all ears.
The penitentiary made me a much better thinker.
Wow.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Wow.
The penitentiary detoured a lot of stuff in me that might not have got detoured without me having my stint that I had.
So you're saying had you not got caught or busted or locked up, you might have did some more.
Absolutely.
You might have did worse than whatever you did.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But that when you go do that time, man, you do that stint, it changes your thought process. So I believe it would deter people from doing a lot of the stuff that they do. Do you know in Dubai, people don't even take their car keys out of their car?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know why they don't take their car keys out of their car?
Because theft over there don't get you even
killed.
Yeah.
So they need to show folk what really happened.
Yeah.
If they do some wrong before they do some wrong.
Okay.
I think it would make the world a lot better, man. I honestly do.
I almost kind of follow you. I'm not going.
Give everybody a 30 to 120 day stint, just so they can understand that you get everything taken from you, all your little rights you think you got.
Can't even do it.
You set up a count at 4 o'clock.
Can't even do it.
At midnight they come in and check you again.
Can't even do it.
You don't go out of bounds unless you're told to go out of bounds with a letter.
Can't even do it.
So when you see how much they control you, it'll deter you from doing some dumb stuff out here.
I'm good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I say that all the time. Everybody needs to do 30 to 90 days.
We good, man. We're going to
change your whole perspective.
We good, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to believe you. We're going to believe the pastor.
Yes,
that's what we're going to do. We don't need no. Look, I got faith in you. I'm going to trust what you say.
I'm
good from over here, though.
I made up 8.5 years of my life.
I'm good over here. I'm gonna take your word for it. I ain't got to go.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm good on that one.
And I hope somebody listening to this, I can save you from going.
Yeah. Shante said it ain't for everybody.
She ain't telling a lot about that.
It ain't for everybody. No, I get it. I get it though. I think it's one of those things where you know, if you can avoid it, you should. Some people come out of it better. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't.
Yep.
A lot of people that go in come out worse than what they, you know, worse than they come out worse than they were when they went in.
Those are the ones that allow the system to.
You either
get bitter or you get better.
That's
what happens in the penitentiary.
You
get
bitter or better. Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You either get bitter or you get better.
Yep.
That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff.
Look at my guy Jerry Glass on here. He was locked. He was locked up with me too. He know how it is in that.
Wow.
He know.
That's crazy. That's so crazy. So I was about to say something else. So this weekend, man, big shout out real quick to Pastor Leon. Let me get his name right. God's gonna mess his name up. Pastor Lance Gabriel Ellis.
Oh, Lance! Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was at a symposium he did over this past weekend.
Brotherly Love.
At Brotherly Love Church, which I didn't even know the church was over there. Brotherly Love Church, right on Chicago Avenue, 4600, I believe, or 4200 block on Chicago Avenue, and he did a symposium on preachers, pastors, and suicide, and you know, and it dealt with depression and how to spot depression in leaders and stuff like that. Man, you talk about powerful.
I watched it.
Yeah, he put a couple of clips up, man.
And I seen what Marcus said too.
Man, that thing was heavy.
Yeah.
That thing was heavy, man. I mean, he and everybody brought something to the table for that piece. And this is how you know how some people just want to have a conference and they just want to do something so they can say they're doing something at their church.
Absolutely.
This is how you know this was a God-breathed event. So I didn't know Lance. I never met Lance before. I only met Lance through y'all on the show.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I never met him personally. Yeah. I met him either through Parks or somebody. He friended me through the show or because we both know Pastor Royal.
Okay.
Some kind of way, but it's on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so he reached out to me via Facebook and asked me that I want to sit on this panel to discuss this thing. And he reached out back in March, and I said yes right away and kind of forgot all about it. So then he reached back out and said, a week ago and said, are you still going to come sit on the panel? And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And he said, okay, I want you to discuss loneliness in leadership.
Wow.
Now, I don't know the man.
Right.
And that's the topic that he gave me to discuss. We're talking about pastors and leaders and dealing with depression and suicide, and I got loneliness in leadership.
Wow.
Somebody else got the topic that I thought I would have been great at. Now, I didn't know what the topics were. I didn't know. He only gave people their part, and then you found out what everybody else got
when
you
they
got
there.
There.
Okay. Yeah.
So somebody else got division in ministry. And I'm thinking, oh,
you should have had. I know what you think.
That's why I said
a lot of them topics
right.
on here.
That's why I said this was Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gave him this.
Yeah.
Because I probably would have been all in my feelings and not did any research because I would have like, oh no, I know all about division and I would have just been talking about my personal stuff and wouldn't have looked up and wouldn't have researched anything, man. But that thing, man, blessed me. But you would just be shocked. At the conversations, man, and he didn't do the whole thing live. And,
I know, I just seen pieces
because that's all he did. He only shot out a couple of pieces at a time. But man, my brother Zachary Lavender, he did his was on betrayal in ministry.
Wow,
my God. Another one was Brandon Campbell, D. Brandon Campbell. His was on competition and comparison in the church. It was
all the stuff that's hitting the church right now.
Man, it was so, man, we were sitting in there, Donna Patrick in Texas asking me if I would come back on her show. Yes, I am, Donna, and watch this. In the summertime, when school is out, like, because I work at the school, when school is out, I can probably actually make it to Texas now. So we can work that out. We can work it out for real, because I'm good. We can work it out. But yes, man, that thing was excellent, and it was information. The thing I appreciated the most about it was he had trained professionals. He had clinically trained psychologists who knew how to deal with people with depression, not preachers,
right.
But trained psychologists that had been to school for that particular issue. And because that's the part that's missing in the church.
It is.
You know, when we start preaching, and even if you go to seminary, you know, back in the day, that was never a part of your seminary degree.
Absolutely.
Now it's like mandatory. Like I had to take pastoral counseling.
Okay.
It was in there. It was like, you know, and I took it twice. I had to take it when I got the master's, and I took it this time. And even though I said on things like, well, I had already, no, you have to take it again. And you take this version of it now. So, but because you can't call yourself. That's why they call themselves life. They call themselves coaches because legally you can't say counselor or therapist.
Right.
Yeah, because you get yourself in trouble.
Right.
You can't.
It's a degree that it's
a medical practice.
Right.
So, but man, just talking about the signs of these things, man. But I dealt with the loneliness piece, and one of the things, you know, how to get around it, and so. When I came up with the different pieces, man, the first thing I said was rest. That was the first thing you do. You've got to move away and give yourself some rest. And then another one was avoid isolation. Avoid isolation. The worst thing you can do is cut off. What Satan wants you to do is to go in the room, lock the door, and not talk to nobody.
Yeah.
And this is my comparison. I know y'all have heard me say it before. There wasn't that much difference between. The only thing that separated Judas and Peter was redemption.
Mm.
Judas never got the chance to ask for forgiveness.
Absolutely.
Because he allowed himself to be isolated separated himself.
Yep.
Because one of the brothers helped me out that was down. I'm trying to remember who said it. He said when Judas's suicide came from rejection, not rejection from Christ, but rejection from the people who he took the money from.
Absolutely.
When they wouldn't take the money back.
Absolutely.
I was like, oh my God, it's rejection. Not even when you get rejected from the people you call yourself
cool with.
Yeah.
Friends, family.
Man. So that piece on depression and loneliness, man, it's a difficult thing, man. And I know, and I've had this conversation with some other preachers, man, especially being single and all that. You know, after you preach, you know, and I'm sure you know this, but you preach, man, you just want to go and lay down somewhere and have somebody just give you a towel and lay on the
just to relax,
just you know, and just you know, like you know, because I remember, man, the last couple Sundays that I preached, I came in here on this couch and laid down. And I think the last time I did it, I came in on this couch, and laid down, man, I think I cried my eyes out.
Because I was
laying into it. And that's the part that people don't get.
Because
you pour out everything you have. If you for real about it, you pour out everything you have. And it's like you need that.
That's
you
time.
Know, because what will happen is the enemy will say you ain't doing enough. And then the enemy will have you preach yourself into a coma.
Sitting out there.
Kill yourself.
Yeah.
Kill yourself in the pulpit because you can't, because you're trying to get a shot out of something. Man. Look here.
I'm telling the truth about that, Doc.
Look here, man. That thing helped us, man. But it was good. So we dealt with that. Brady dealt with, oh God, what was Brady's? I forgot what Brady's piece was. But man, I mean, everybody. And I just met him. And then the crazy part.
Oh, you have never met Brady?
I never met Brady either.
He's part of our church co-line.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Had again. Didn't know none of these people, man. And I was honored to just be in the room though. But it was great, man. It was a good thing. It was good. So we looking forward to
a part two.
A part two, and taking the next step.
Okay.
Taking the next step. We created this group, and I'll invite you to the group because it's a private group, but it's called The Safe Place.
Okay.
Because that was part of the conversation too. That pastors and preachers don't have a safe place to say.
Amen.
And this is the thing we left with, though. It's okay to say I'm not okay. It's okay to say I'm not okay.
I hear that at my church.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah. It's okay not to be okay.
Yes, it is.
But we're not built that way.
No, not preachers.
Especially me. Especially me.
Yeah.
And then I was glad we had some women pastors in the room that day. I forget the young lady's name, Nehemiah or something. I can't say, I'm not messing her name up. But she said, even for them, because they have to put on a stronger armor than we do, because they already feel like they don't belong.
Yeah.
So they got to challenge. So now they got to be tougher than us.
Yeah.
So
it's harder for the women.
So you can't,
well.
Man. So and it was a blessing to have the night before. I had Pastor Frederick Wilson. And his wife in studio.
I've seen a piece of that.
And him stepping away from ministry after 20 years, pastoring 20 years, he quit.
Did he?
Yeah. And he's younger than me. But he completely exhausted. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Because it was him and his wife. So he's coming back. He just wrote a book that comes out in June. He's coming back with a book release to give us a little bit more detail.
Okay.
But Nemi Award, thank you, Felicia LaShawn Brown. Thank you. That's who she was. Man, it was just an amazing time, man. And we gonna do it again and take it a step further. Definitely take it a step. Is that the key?
Yeah. Sorry, it's going down. First, I thought somebody was trying to come through the
window. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It shows
it's probably like popping louder because it's off. They don't have no place to release.
Okay.
That one is off already. So,
okay.
But anyway, I was just like, man, it was a blessing to be there, man. I was just honored to be there, man. But the information. I was just like a sponge. But it talked about betrayal too, you know, how betrayal in you know in the Bible, how it starts and how when you're betrayed, it puts you in a place of not being able to trust. And then when you can't, and that's the other thing the enemy wants to do. Once you've been betrayed,
he don't want you to trust nobody. Yeah.
He wanna pull you away and make you only depend on you when you clearly are not ready to handle that.
I mean, well, we can look at it from the beginning of the Bible all the way up until the end of the Bible. It was a lot of betrayal.
Yeah.
It was a lot of lies between people.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, prime example, even Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
They brothers.
Yeah.
And he betrayed his brother having a conversation
at
with him on the field.
At the beginning.
In the beginning
at
of the Bible.
In the very beginning. everything that well, if you really want to tell that was betrayal in the garden.
The first part of betrayal.
That was betrayal in the garden.
Because you betrayed God's word.
You betrayed God's word. Eve betrayed her husband.
Yeah.
You know.
And the serpent betrayed Eve.
Well, no, he tricked her.
Yeah. Yeah. That too.
That part. Man, it was, man. So I can't wait. Again, big shout out to Pastor Ellis and the Brotherly Love Church over there, man. Great time. And let me tell you something, man. That church looked like they'd be having some worship up in there.
He's the keyboard man too.
Oh, see, I don't know none of this stuff.
He's from Lifeline. That's one of.
I didn't know that. That's what she said.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah. He come from Lifeline. He's one of his pastors.
Wow.
One of his pastors.
Felicia LaShawn says Pastor Reggie did a great teaching on the many bags pastors and their family have to carry in ministry. Yeah. And that was the thing too. We talked about some of the examples that were used. Where some of these mega church pastors that from us on the outside, we like they had it all.
Right. But you don't know what they struggling with in the back.
But you know, we've said the same thing outside of church. People say, you know, you see the person driving the Benz. You see the person driving the Mercedes. You see the person doing all these things. And you go, man, I wish I had that. You don't know the cost they're paying to have it.
What it costs to get it.
And what it costs to keep it.
Yeah.
You don't know the struggle they're going through to keep it while you coveting it on this side.
Yeah.
You don't know the cost. And I say it like this, tell some people sometimes, you don't know the cost of the anointing. Jesus. Woo God.
It costs a whole lot.
Huh?
It costs a whole lot.
Some people don't understand that. And one of the things that I've come to understand in this walk, man, is that this thing will cost you some of the very things you value the most.
Family.
Friendships,
yep.
Relationships, yep. Man. This ain't no, you know. I understand the scripture where he says, "My yoke is easy, but my burden is light." But this ministry though,
it ain't easy or light.
Mm-mm. So it's
rough.
It is, man. It is because you're trying to build human relationships,
yep.
But at the same time walk spiritually and keep people going. Ooh, God. My.
It becomes heavy.
It does, man. But I often reflect back to Shekinah Glory has a song. I think it was on the CD they did, After Praise Is What I Do CD.
Okay.
And the song was entitled Yes. And at the beginning of the song,
When your heart and soul say yes.
And at the beginning of the song, the young lady's exhorting, and she says, now be careful when you say yes. She says, because yes might cost you everything.
She ain't lying.
Every time I hear it.
Yeah.
And what's so funny is when I first heard that song, I wasn't nobody's preacher. But that thing resonated with me. And the first time I heard it, it built in me a spirit of no. Because I thought because I got afraid.
Right. And it might cost you everything.
You know, because it's like some stuff you ain't ready, you know. So people say, Danny, you want to no. Nope. Don't you want to go take no. Nope. No.
Hey, I can attest to all I've lost.
Yeah.
Since the doors of the church opened.
Wow.
When I really told God, my yes ain't just a yes, but my yes is I will yes.
Now watch this. You lost it, but do you miss it? The stuff you lost.
The things I lost, and I want to explain this.
Come on, help us out.
From my mother.
Uh-huh.
From a decision that was, you know, with my mother.
Yeah.
And then to lose, you know, Pastor Bass, even up in his age, you know, he gave me a lot of wisdom,
right.
Knowledge and understanding
right.
about
right.
that
right.
that I would have never gotten.
Right.
And then to lose my wife.
Yeah.
And a lot of people ask me, you know, how are you still preaching?
Right. See, I see where you're going. I ain't talking about them people.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the other stuff you had to cut off.
But them people, I didn't mind cutting them off.
Right.
Because evidently they wasn't for me anyway.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So you don't miss that.
No, I don't miss that.
But see, we think we're going to miss it.
Yeah.
Which is why we want to say no.
Right.
Right. But once we get somewhere, God will show us. Now, do you really think you needed that?
Because that might have hurt you way more than it can help.
Come on now.
Absolutely.
Man, look here. It's a blessing sometimes, man, to realize. That's why I appreciate the times God said no more than anything. I promise you I do. I appreciate the times when God either said no or not yet. I was having a conversation with with a guy the other day, and we were talking about music, and he said he wanted to, he wished he had learned the piano, right, because he really wanted to do music. But then we were talking, he said, but you know, had I learned it, that probably would have took me in a direction that I wasn't ready to go. So a lot of times God withholds things from us because he sees where if we get it too early, it's going to take us somewhere
that he ain't
ready for us to go yet. We might still get it somewhere down the line.
But not right now.
But not yet. Woo.
That goes into what I'm teaching about. That's why I said that.
I know,
and I don't want to give the
I got you.
Yeah.
Man, that stuff, man, that thing blesses me, man. It's a wonderful thing, man. And I think one of the things, man, for me, hitting 49 is I always write myself when I turned 40, I started writing myself notes.
Okay.
Right, just little notes to myself, so I'll have them when I get, if you know, if Lord blesses me to get up a little in my late 60s and 70s, I'll have it to go back and see if my 40-year-old self learn, if when I get to 60, can I look back at 49 and say I did what I said I was going to do?
And learn something along the way.
So I wrote, so every year since I turned 40, and I don't think I've ever shared this with anybody, I don't think anybody knows this, every year since I turned 40, I wrote a letter back to 20-year-old me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I said, things that I've learned that 40-year-old me would turn around and tell, like, if I could have that conversation. Yeah, if I could talk to 20-year-old me at 30.
Right.
Yeah,
you got a whole bunch.
I could just say, let me just I pick out five things. Literally, I do this.
And then that, okay.
I pick out five things that I would tell 20-year-old me, and then when I turn 41, I talk to 21-year-old me. I had a whole lot to tell that Negro.
Wow.
But I keep it to five things.
That's good.
And it's like, wow. So every year, so I have not finished yet with what I would tell 29-year-old me.
Right. But you haven't finished with all five.
No, I got two. And with the first thing I wrote down there was, stop trying to please everybody.
That's been me for a long time.
At 29, all I wanted to do was try to make everybody happy.
Everybody but
and
you.
Most of them folk I was trying to make happy didn't give a dog biscuit about me. that's the clean word.
Yes,
didn't give a dog biscuit.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the Purina, the good biscuit. I'm talking about the cheap one. Didn't give a good stale biscuit. Huh?
Nothing at all.
Yeah, man. But it. So I do that, man. But it's those things. And I'm like, wow. Because you have to learn some stuff. And I think if we all take the time to just go back and say, you know, all right. And it's not to dwell in the past. You can't go back.
No.
But what you can do is you can lay the groundwork, man. And so I've been doing this, man, for a long time. I know for these, somebody said, it sounds like you got a book. I know, right? I'm just out of the right mood right now. That's probably one of the reasons why I haven't been able to finish it, because I'm so tired of writing. I've been typing. It seems like I've been typing for 2 years. So I'm tired of typing.
Because you have.
I have been. So I'm like over it right now. But, yeah, so I take the time to go back and write that thing out, man. And like, think about it. Like how do you know?
Now I'm 40. I'm 42. I'll be 43 this year.
43 this year. How old were you when you went away?
I was 23.
So almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So think about the conversation 43-year-old you would have with 22, 23-year-old.
Absolutely.
And it's not about don't do it.
Right.
It's about now you know, and this is what I see.
Right.
And then you think back to what really made me do what I did.
Well, I mean, I know what made
you. You know,
right.
You know it now.
Yeah.
But I mean, as an adult, because you knew it then, probably, but you really know it now.
But mine was circumstance.
There's always a circumstance, and it's like, could we have handled things differently?
I ask myself that question a lot.
Yeah.
Of times.
Yeah.
What?
Because it's not regret. Because it makes no sense to regret. It really don't. Regret really does you no good. I think, and regret is one thing to have remorse.
Yes.
Being remorseful and being regretful is two different things.
Absolutely.
Especially if what you did caused somebody else
that's
hurt
pain. Yep.
Or harm or pain.
Yep.
But regretting,
you can't regret.
See, that's what the enemy wants you to be sitting in the corner regretting and saying, oh, I'm a horrible person and I suck and I'll never be right and I'll never do good with anybody. I'll never be with nobody because of this, that, and the third. That's enemy talk.
That's true.
Yeah. Wow. That's all right, man.
That's absolutely right. That's how you trick you.
Yeah, Yeah.
Once he got your mind, he got everything he needs.
That's it. Because now you go, because you start building these walls up. My God, you start building these walls up, and then you start putting these restrictions on people.
Yeah.
You know, and these criteria.
Yeah, and expectations.
And that you ain't able to meet. My God. Jesus. Woo.
It's true.
We do that, though.
Yeah.
We do that. Man, look, this is what we're going to do, y'all. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to let my man drink some water and eat a snack. He got a Reese that's ready.
Yeah,
it, look, he done unwrapped it.
It doesn't sit there. It doesn't sit there, man. I'm going to hit that thing.
We're going to take a quick break, man, and let him do that. I'm going to crack this door because it feel like it got warmer in here. I'm going to crack this door. We're going to get a little air in here, man. But look, we're going to be right back. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give y'all some good old music over here. Where's the song at? I'm going to play this joint. I'm going to give it play my girl. My girl is on tour in Cincinnati. I think she just got back. My little sister, Lanasia Tyson, with Lesson to Learn. Man, she is out on tour. I think she just got back. But like she told me, she still got a real job.
Oh,
and,
wow.
So, yeah, she got to go to work every day. So I'm going to give y'all some of this Lanasia Tyson Lesson to Learn. Be right back, y'all. PG. Hello.
There's a time and season for everything, and I know the long wait can feel unreal. Wondering when you're gonna get what you think you deserve. If you think that's how it works, my friend, it don't. There are many things you have to learn to do before God can release what he has for you. While you're waiting on your blessings, work on yourself. Here are some things that you gotta learn. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your phone. You need to learn to watch your mouth. You gotta change what's in your heart. So you can handle him. Please understand, God knows what you want, and he also knows what's in your heart. If he give it to you now, you may crash and burn. You gotta learn how to wait till it's your turn. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other stuff will be added in time. I'm only sharing with you what I know, because these are some lessons I have to learn. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. Your help comes from, 'cause faith without words is dead. You need to go to church so you can be saved. See, trials come to make you strong, but these are the lessons that will help you grow. I'm trying to share with you what I know.
Hang on,
you gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your tone. You gotta learn to watch your mouth. You gotta change what's in your heart so you can handle me. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your phone.
You don't know I'm on the air, and everybody that knows me knows you can't call me on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday between 7 and 9. Don't call my phone. I don't know who you is. God bless you, though. God bless you. Anyway, we got this good article that we want to talk about. It's really good, though. It's really good. It's simply entitled, Slow and Steady Wins the Church Growth Race. Slow and Steady is up top. And yeah, yep, right there. Slow and Steady wins the church growth race, man. And some of you said it. We were having a conversation just offline about people showing up at the church, man. The same thing is starting to happen over here. We're getting a steady stream of but Slow and Steady, man, wins the race. So wins the church growth race. So that's the conversation we're gonna jump into. Man, but we had some good responses and comments from some people. Felicia says, don't relive the past, just review it and learn from it and teach others.
That's good. Absolutely.
That's good. And it's not, you know what though, I think about that, man, it's not so much telling folks what not to do. Because what I learned is when you try to tell kids what not to do, they're going to turn around and do it.
Do it just because you said don't do it.
But you have to be more, you have to be transparent. And in your transparency, say, this is why I'm telling you not to do it, because I did something very similar.
And it didn't work for me.
And let them know what you did. Right. Don't be embarrassed to say, I've been there, I've done that.
Yeah.
And I wish I had done things differently.
You can save a lot.
Yeah. So I'm sharing my testimony with you so you don't have to go down the same path I did.
I went through. Yeah.
It's not about bragging about how God God got you through. I mean, it's not about bragging about you coming out. It's more about bragging about you saying, look, God, only God got me through this, but I could have avoided it
if I had not done it.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's the thing I try to tell the kids, man, about the 7th to 8th grade that I deal with. It's like you all are making decisions now that are going to affect you for the rest of your life. And I told them, I wish I had been a stronger student who cared more when I was in when I got ready to go to high school, because I didn't. It was like, you know, and a kid today, literally this is what a kid said today. A kid said this today. He said, I'm only doing this for the grade. And the teacher told him, she said, if you're only doing it for the grade, you won't be helping yourself. If you're only, because they have to read, like the first 15 minutes of the class in the language class, they have to read and then write a review of what they read. So to show that they read it and that they understood what they read. And so literally what they do is they'll grab a book off the shelf, some of them on the cheek, and turn the book over on the back and write down the synopsis. So they can get a grade that they did something.
Right.
But you haven't learned anything.
That's a lot of stuff. Sure.
But that's what we do.
Yeah, sure.
And that's what we do, man. And it's one of those things where it's like, wow, you gotta do it because you're trying to actually learn something and not, you know, yeah, you want a good grade or you want a passing grade, but it has to be more. For me, it was just let me do enough to get by. I was that stupid. Yeah, I was that guy.
I was somewhat that guy, but my father changed me when he said, okay, so now every day when you come in, you gotta read a chapter and you gotta explain the chapter of the Bible too.
Wow, okay, see.
So he started me in the Bible.
See.
And sometimes he would give me whatever he's preaching that Sunday.
That's good.
He might tell me to read this chapter and tell me what was said in the chapter, explain the chapter to him. Because I was the guy that always, I stuttered when I talked. Not talk, but if I read, I was so nervous that I would fumble over all of my words.
Wow.
And now I can stand before the crowd and read it all and don't have no problem.
Wow.
Yeah. So God used that to prepare me. I thank God for that.
Yeah, that's good, man. Look, y'all, we're gonna jump into this thing, man. I'm telling you about it. I ain't got the article up, y'all. Y'all breaking me up. I don't know what I'm doing. I got too much stuff going on. I got everything up but the article. All right, let's go. All right, we're gonna jump into this thing, man. It's something called Slow and Steady Wins the Church Growth Race. This was just written on yesterday. By Julie Winkowski. I think is her name. And I like this one because the writer is here in Chicago.
Yeah, she said right outside.
She's right outside the city of Chicago. So I'm going to read this, and then we're going to start off with the points. I think I got – I'm sorry. I did not even mention my producers on the other side. I think I got Jay Mel and LaTanya Melton on the other side of the glass, handling all the buttons and telling them the stuff for us. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all know I'm running my mouth. I apologize. Don't, you know, charge to – let me use that church statement. Charge to
my
head.
Not my heart.
Not to my heart. Huh? What am I shot at? Huh? What am I see? I'm feeling it already. You know, I'm a doc now. I got to stop picking the tongue. Yeah, right. Whatever. Whatever.
Preach. Oh,
woo, God. Yes. Shama. Huh? All right.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said I'm going to keep praying until he's for real.
I hope if it do ever hit me though, I hope ain't no cameras rolling. That's all I know.
Yes, sir.
I hope the internet go down. Whatever did happen, I hope all phones
everything
just go down. Right. let's see. This is what the writer says. She says, "I live in a suburb outside Chicago that has experienced a lot of growth in church plants. Just take a drive down the main streets or Google churches in Northwest Illinois, and you are sure to find a church within a mile of another." She says, "This newfound realization led me to ask, is growing a church too fast good? Is growing a church too fast good?" She says, "When experiencing fast growth, churches tend to make decisions in a short amount of time that can have a long-lasting effect on the health and direction of the congregation. Here are a few dangers to consider when experiencing fast church growth." Ready?
Yes.
Number one, go for it, sir.
So number one says, assuming the growth will continue, church leaders are quick to react to this surge in attendance.
Uh-oh.
But handling this increase must be accompanied by a lot of prayers, consideration, and planning.
That's good.
It is important to know your new guests, find out what drew them to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you find out what drew them to the church, is there a population boom in your area?
Mm-hmm.
Are you experiencing growth while another church in the area is adapting to a decline? How can your church reach others in search of a church home? Is the community surrounding your church a growing and thriving area? These questions will help you check the longevity of your growth.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you why I like that.
Come on.
Because it was 2 points in there. I'm sounding like a preacher.
No, no. Point number one.
It was 2 points in here that really stuck out. The first one was, the writer says, church leaders are quick to react to this surge.
Come on, help us with this. Come on. I'm waiting on it.
I noticed that when somebody get just one good Sunday, and now we post crazy. I don't post if I got 30 members or we got 90 members, I don't post to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it ain't about who's sitting in the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the God that's in the church.
Come on.
And we don't get excited about numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to preach the same way if it's two people or if it's 200 people.
Come on.
Because somebody in the building must need to get a word.
Come on.
So they get the attendance. Oh, man, we had 200 this week, so we're going to shoot for 300 next week.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're making plans for something that God, it don't mean that they came was from God.
Right. You planned for something God didn't plan.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Which comes to the second point.
Come on.
The second point says that if your church is declining, is there another church around your, if your church is getting more members, is there a church around you that's declining?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to be cautious of that.
Are you just switching members?
I was just going to say, church hoppers.
Swap it.
That's it.
Woo, God.
We got to be cautious of the members in the church.
I like the part. Even if you go back to point number, the first part of your first point, Pastor, your first point,
yes, sir,
says how we get it when folks start joining the church and we start automatically making plans.
Absolutely.
Before we even know the people. We want to put them on committees.
Come on.
Before we even know people. The people ain't made it through new membership class.
Come on.
They ain't had no instruction.
Come on.
Or you're so desperate
to
put somebody in a new position that you just grab somebody to fill a seat.
Yeah.
Or because they say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm interested in this. That don't matter that you're interested. Are you, what makes you qualify? And then I need to check some stuff out other than your attendance. Because attendance don't make you qualify.
Sure don't. And qualify don't make you be somebody that's going to always attend you.
Come on.
Because you'll be qualified and you'll be that two Sunday a month.
It's a whole lot of folk who can do jobs that don't show up every day like they're supposed to.
That is.
Come on. That's good, man. So, and then the piece about church hopping, you hit that right on the head.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, let's go. I'm going to do number two. Number two says, offering too many ministries.
Hey.
Uh-oh. Church is offering too many ministries. This is what she says. She says, an important question to ask is if your, facility and congregation can sustain each ministry. Is there a plan to accommodate a growth of 30% or 50% throughout the year? Can the plans grow with you? Do you have the available staff and resources to fulfill the needs of a growing church? Conduct an evaluation of current ministries to see if they still fulfill its original goal.
Use the assessment to view which ministries will lead your congregation forward. However, it is important to remember the key mission of your church when analyzing ministries.
Wow.
Jesus.
That's good. Because you got a lot of people that just add ministries just because they got people.
Can you talk about that?
We have not changed what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because what I've learned about when you're adding new people into the church, some people are only there for the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
So what about when the excitement turns into the disciplinary?
Okay. I'm with you.
Or the rebuke.
I'm with you.
Or the hold on, take a seat for a few weeks until you get your mind right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, it's a lot of people that like everything when it's going good.
Yeah.
But what about when you stepped out of line?
Yeah. That's good.
And I understand, you know, we start making other ministries. When you over the deacon board ministry, you over the talking to the deacons in the ministry, when you have a ministry meeting,
right.
And you over the ushers ministry, and you the spiritual advisor to us,
yeah.
And you this and you that,
come on.
You got too many auxiliaries going on when you ain't got enough members for the auxiliaries.
Wow.
Slow down.
Sister Butt say the fried chicken ministry.
That's the kitchen work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you already know, man. It's a lot of stuff going on. Let's first take time to know God.
Yeah.
Before we start putting all these ministries.
And a lot of times I think we don't recognize, and what this is what I appreciate from any leader, especially if you're a new leader coming into a already established church.
Yeah.
Is I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for evaluation, asking people what their ministries do. Because if I'm just getting here, I don't know. If I were to pastor a church, and I'll tell you a story about what I did at my former church home. I got to get used to saying that. Because I've been saying home church for the longest. Ain't been there in a year. But, you know, ain't been there in a year. One of the things that I remember doing an anniversary. I think we did the 40 myself. And once I got drafted to do it, I grabbed LaTanya and made her do it with me. We got asked to do like the 43rd or 44th year anniversary. The person who's supposed to do it backed out.
So
my pastor asked me, he said, could you take it? And I was like, man, I said, yeah, I'll figure something out. I said, yeah, okay. And I said, hey, Tanya, guess what you got to do?
You passed it real quick.
Yeah, we put the thing together, man. So one of the things we did was, I knew how traditional my church was.
Okay.
Right? And I knew how we spent a lot of time on that Sunday reliving the past and going back and doing all that.
Okay.
What I decided to do was I wanted Sunday to be strictly about the worship. So what I decided to do was have a prayer breakfast that Saturday that honored all of the people who originally marched in 43 some odd years ago.
Wow.
And give them, and you could tell all your stories.
Smart.
At that day.
That's smart.
Because when we get in here on Sunday,
straight work,
we just gonna worship and thank God for the 43.
That's good.
And so when I was going through the ministries and we were redoing the website, I saw it was like 27 ministries listed. Now we only had 90 folks coming to church.
And you got
it was 27 ministries listed. So I sat in the office with my pastor, my former pastor at the time, Ray Williams, and I said, what's this ministry? He said, I ain't met since I've been here. And I met him, he was there year six when I got there, or year five. He said, I ain't met one time since I've been here. He put a line through.
Wow.
So by the time we got ready to rebuild the website, I built the website without those ministries listed.
Yeah.
Because they had not functioned.
So what good is to have?
We had a health and awareness ministry that had met one time. That was the first one I stepped up. We had all types of ministries that they just did not exist. So we got rid of them because it was dead weight. But it was people wanted to know, well, who run the ministry? I do. Well, what you do?
Because you run it and ain't nothing happen.
What's your name on it? But what do you do? So yeah, man. I love the fact that. Is I don't think there's anything wrong with analyzing ministries. And if the ministry is, because some ministries might be a good idea, but just might have bad leadership.
That too.
Because an outreach ministry is always wonderful, but do you have the right people running the outreach ministry?
Absolutely.
right? You know, outreach evangelism, I think, causes they intersect, so it's kind of the same group, you know. But your missionary, now missions,
that's totally different.
That's different.
Absolutely.
Now, if you're a missionary church, you ought to be doing some missions. And if you ain't, you ought to be partnering with somebody else.
Well,
that
is. Absolutely.
If that don't mean nothing, but you writing a check to another church because they going to do some missionary work, helping them out, sowing a seed, something.
Do something.
Help pay for somebody's head. Like, I know a friend of my former church. What is his name? His last name is Williams. Reverend Cliff Williams over at First Baptist Congregational. He goes to Africa, I think, almost every year.
Wow.
And they go over there and they do his thing has been taking sewing machines
to Africa.
Either taking them or buying them when he gets there, sewing machines.
To teach them how to
and the people, because that's how they can make money.
That's smart.
That's what he does. So he literally goes around and solicits churches. So he'll show up at your church and be like, hey man, can I have 10 minutes with you people? And he gets there, he'll tell him, he got pictures showing him and the people delivering sewing machines, and the people break down crying when they get that sewing machine. They get the sewing machine, it's like somebody giving us keys to a new car.
I believe that. Because I watch what happened when they get by.
Yes. And they get that sewing machine, man, and they start making, they already know how to sew because they're doing it by hand.
Now
they got this sewing machine, man, and now they rocking out clothes. You would never think that. You know, we thinking did well, and I understand they need one.
They definitely
but do. This, you know, but this is this. You can't make no money off one. They can pay for themselves,
right,
man. You one person come and you make a dress for somebody. That's 5 or 6 bags of rice. Come on.
Long way for one family.
My God. All right, this is good.
Yes,
let's go, y'all. We're talking about slow and steady wins the church growth race. Number three,
failure in taking responsibility for mistakes.
Oh, God.
It says, I was part of a children's ministry leadership team during the growth of my church.
Mm.
We met regularly to discuss safety concerns, facility management, and programs. Some decisions were made quickly to accommodate immediate needs without considering the long-term effect our decisions had on our ministry.
Mm.
As a leadership team, we had to acknowledge the mistakes we made, learn from them, and make appropriate adjustments. This took time and patience on our part as well as the families we served.
Wow.
Now, what I do like about this is,
mm-hmm.
is the first part where it says failure in taking responsibility of a mistake.
Yeah.
And most people fail to take responsibility where they fell off at.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
I'm being honest.
That's good.
You know what, Pastor? I fell short. So let me be the first one to say,
mm-hmm.
I fell short.
Mm-hmm.
I was responsible,
mm-hmm.
and while I was responsible
mm-hmm.
for something,
mm-hmm.
I made an irresponsible decision.
Mm.
So in that, let me get the rebuke that you're going to give me.
Yeah.
And then let me go back out here and show you that I can do my
allow job. Me the opportunity, if you allow me the grace to fix it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even from the take a step up to the higher position as pastor.
Right.
If you implement something in the church.
Right.
Be okay with saying, you know what, this was a hasty change.
Yes.
This didn't need to happen
yep.
as quickly. Because one of the things about taking over someplace new is
woo,
you got to be careful with how you enact change.
Yes, you do.
Because it's not that it might not need changing. You don't need to cut the head off everything the first day.
It's always the approach.
Yeah, the approach is everything.
Everything.
Approach is everything, man. I think we miss that sometimes. We get a little excited. And I don't want to call it power hungry because I don't think that's what it is. I think we just get a little excited because we become anxious because we want to see things change right away.
Yep. And slow change is better than no change. I hope you got that.
Slow change is better than no. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Some stuff you can change right away, like starting on time. That's okay.
Absolutely.
I got no beef with that.
Absolutely.
You know, but if you wanted to, like, say you wanted to come in and change the day of Bible study. That would mean something to some people.
Absolutely.
And you got to have a plan behind it, you know. But you just can't, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. That's good though. But I like this part. Let me go back to this real quick. leadership team, acknowledging the mistake we made and then learn from it.
You got to learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
That's what I did when I went to jail. You caught that under my breath.
We heard that. Ain't no news around here.
Yes, sir.
Let me see what some of this says. Let's see. Angela says sometimes it's ignorance too. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Chiante says accountability and integrity are vital tools. That's good, man. That's good. Wait a minute, Felicia said slow change is better than no change. I would like fast change in the White House. You know what though? But I'm gonna show you, Felicia, how what he just said works for that situation too, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody talking about impeach Trump.
Yep.
Y'all do know that Mike Pence is crazy.
Huh.
Y'all, see, if y'all don't see, Mike Pence goes under the radar because he's the vice president. And he gets sent off to do little simple stuff, and you don't really hear nothing about him. Just Google Mike Pence as he was governor of Indiana. Ask the folk in Indiana, is Mike Pence even allowed to come back to Indiana?
Hey.
They might not even let him in the state. After the way he destroyed the unions and the schools in Indiana.
You gotta be careful.
Y'all might want to check Mike Pence.
Yeah.
So, don't, yeah. And he's super religious. He that other side of religion. That crazy right wing side of religion.
Yeah, he the wrong side.
Yeah, the wrong side. Yeah, so y'all might want, yeah, see, Trump just crazy. You know, to Trump crazy stupid. Mike Pence is crazy for real.
Yeah, he crazy retarded.
And he would be the president. And then real talk, do you really want Mike Pence as president? And then if you get rid of both of them, watch this. You get rid of both of them, do we really want Nancy Pelosi as president?
No.
Come on now. Speak of that. She crazy too.
All of them got some big short.
Come on now. She crazy too. Don't forget. Don't watch this. Don't forget when she was Speaker of the House and Obama had the Senate, we still couldn't get stuff done. When we had a full Democratic House and Senate. Because they were too busy fighting each other.
All the time.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's I just wanted to share that. So, whatever that you did, number three, right?
Yep.
All right, we still going, y'all. We're talking slow.